Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Emphasizing the importance of reading the Bible, reading Scripture. At this time, we understand that the New Testament had not been completely revealed, but there had been some writing done to various churches. But there also had the Old Testament Scripture, which is said to make us wise unto salvation. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In our previous lesson, we emphasized the value of the Word of God to save us, to comfort us. We talked about creatures of habit and time. We are indeed creatures of habit and creatures of time. And we either have a habit of reading or we don't. All habits, we understand, are not necessarily bad. A lot of bad habits, but we have a lot of good habits. People develop habits that are necessary. Some for good health. Various habits are necessary to accomplish various tasks. If we've gotten in the habit of not reading, our time on earth will end without our ever having read God's Word as we should. For our study tonight, I want us to think about some suggestions for making daily Bible reading a habit. Something that we established in our last study that we should do, we should make daily Bible reading a habit so that we can read regularly from God's Word. Beginning next Lord's Day in our bulletin, there will be a scripture reading for the week. It's a schedule that someone developed. Son Dan gave Bruce a copy of it, and I asked for a copy. We are going to publish the scripture reading each week. And at the end of the year, you will have read through the entire New Testament. There are some days in there for catch-up reading, in case you lapse and allow some time to go by that you didn't read. And so there's some time allowed for that type of catching up in your reading. But what we want to do in our daily Bible reading and making it a habit is making it a positive addiction. Addiction is not necessarily a bad word either. We talk about addictions, and most of the time we talk about addiction, we're talking about things that we ought not to be addicted to. We talk about drugs and alcohol and tobacco and things of that nature. They are addictive in nature. So when we hear the word addiction, most time we think negative thoughts. But the word addiction is simply another word for habit. We think of it as another term for bad habit, such as we talked about. Smoking, swearing, drinking, gambling, something of that nature. When something bad for us becomes second nature, we do it without much effort or thought. And that's the way it is with most people who develop a bad habit. They do those things without giving it a second thought. I can testify to that from a personal standpoint. Many, many years ago, I was addicted to some degree to tobacco. And I used it without giving it a second thought. Until one day I decided enough was enough and I quit. So bad habits can be terminated. But we can become dependent on various things. Either emotionally or physically. When we try to do without those things, we experience various degrees of discomfort. I don't know how many packs of chewing gum I chewed during the time I was quitting smoking. I use that sort of a substitute. Part of the addiction is emotional. Part of it is physical. But nevertheless, it is an addiction. Things that we do without giving it much thought. That's the negative addictions that we have in our lives. But there are indeed positive addictions. Becoming dependent on a good habit. Exercise can be a positive addiction. You see commercials on TV about making exercise pleasurable. And I haven't found anything pleasurable about it. But it's something we need to do on a regular basis for our health. And as we do it more on a regular basis, it becomes somewhat of a second nature to us. When we frequently experience this, we become addicted to it. I know people who become addicted to running. In fact, I know a man who, it was said that he lost his marriage because he became addicted to running. He spent more time on that addiction than he did in making his marriage what it ought to be. I suspect that's not all that was involved in it, but that was one of the things that was said. And I understand that this can be the case. When people become addicted to something that maybe is necessary, something that is pleasurable, then it can become, from some standpoint, a bad habit. But we go for a few days without doing those things. Sometimes we feel uneasy, we feel depressed, we feel irritable. And so when you go without exercise long enough, guess what? The discomfort will soon pass. For quite some time, I was walking every day. And then something came along, and I didn't walk one day, and then another day came along, and I didn't. And so it wasn't too long before I wasn't walking at all like I had been. But one day, Lord willing, I plan to get back into the habit because it's good for your health. We're talking about a positive addiction to a good habit. It affects you physically, mentally, and even spiritually. It can be a source of pleasure and satisfaction. And when it is neglected, after it has become a habit, when it's neglected, it gives you withdrawal pains. Just as surely as you have withdrawal pain from a habit that is not a good habit. So either way, habits can be good or they can be bad. So if we're talking about this positive addiction and negative addictions and things of that nature, why is a positive addiction to daily Bible reading necessary? We have a lot of positive addictions that we do really without even thinking about it. People brush their teeth after every meal. Most of them don't even give it a thought. They just do it. We're being encouraged to wash our hands on a regular basis, and so we get in the habit of doing that. And we do it without giving a second thought. I told somebody the other day, I used more soap in the last 6 months than I used in the last 6 years almost. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you understand the point I'm making. When we get in the habit of something, we do it sometimes even without thinking about it. Well, we're talking about daily Bible reading. It's something that we really need to give some thought to. Because remember when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, when you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, something happens. You come to understand what God's will is. Paul told Timothy to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And so this is something we need to do with some thought behind it. Not just do it automatic or in a rote way, but do it with some thought behind it. And so this habit obviously helps us maintain the practice of Bible reading. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, David said, in regard to this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His law doth he meditate day and night. He took pleasure in the law of God. And so if that is the case, a few days go by without reading the Bible, there's a level of discomfort that helps us go back to reading on a regular basis, to get back on track, as we say. Most who have tried to read the Bible daily and didn't keep it up are people who never experienced a positive addiction to reading God's Word. It's never become this positive addiction that causes them discomfort when they are not engaged in the practice. And so rather than being pleasurable, the problem is that it became a chore. Now, there's some things we do on a regular basis that we really would rather not do. Every Sunday night at services, I gather all the garbage up. Dottie helps me gather it up and put it in the garbage can and roll it over here for the garbage man on Monday morning. I just think I have to do that. But do it on a regular basis, every week. Some things we do that we'd rather not do. They're called a chore. But we do them on a regular basis. We don't want the Bible to become a chore. We want reading the Bible to be an enjoyable, pleasurable experience. To those who this is a chore, when they fall behind in their reading, there's very little motivation to catch up because they weren't really getting any joy out of it. I enjoyed my walks. They weren't really a chore. That's the way a lot of people are about running. It's enjoyable, it becomes pleasurable. And so they're able to keep it up. So, how do we create a positive addiction to reading the Bible? What do we do to make this happen? Well, I suggest to you the principles are the same for creating any positive addiction. As we noted, we need to make the experience a pleasurable experience. In Psalm 119, verse 16, David said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Been reading, started over in Genesis not too long ago, reading in the Old Testament, and read the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus is really not a very pleasurable experience. There's a lot of names, and then there's a lot of laws and specific orders for certain laws and how they're to be carried out. Then you get in the book of Numbers, and you got more, a lot of the same, in fact. Talking about genealogies and numbers in this tribe and numbers in that tribe. And so some of this is really not all that enjoyable, but if you give some thought to it, if you think about the context, what's going on in this context, then it can, even that can become a pleasurable experience. And the more you read it, and the more you understand about it, the more pleasurable it can become. And so the reason that some people fail to exercise because they go about it the wrong way. The daily workouts are painful and miserable. And any excuse not to exercise prevents them from keeping it up. I know that, and you know that, from personal experience. The same applies to reading the Bible. If you try to do too much too soon, the experience becomes little more than making a checklist. Well, I got this one done. I got this chapter, this number chapter read. Psalm 119, verse 162. Again, David said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. A spoil was the results of battles where people were conquered and their possessions became your possessions. David said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. is you find great wealth. It's very pleasurable. It's enjoyable. And so we need to look at Bible reading in the same way. From the standpoint of receiving enjoyment from reading the Bible rather than it being a chore. We need to start slow with some small goals. Many try to start reading the Bible and reading it through in 1 year, and somehow or another they just never make it past Exodus or Leviticus. Someone said a journey of 1,000 miles just begins with one step. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and if you keep at it long enough, you can make that 1,000 miles. It's sort of like the old grandfather's clock. They counted up the number of ticks that it would have to make in a year's time. I can't remember the number, but you can look it up. And so the clock just decided, that's too many ticks. I just can't do it. And someone pointed out, all you have to do is just one tick at a time. And so the clock started running again. So we need to start out with small goals. Before Bible reading becomes a positive addiction, many people run into difficult passages like the beginning jogger who tries to run a mile the first time they go out and they can't do it, so they quit. So why not just start with making the New Testament a yearly goal? That's what we're encouraging this year. I remember correctly, next week is Luke chapter 1 through chapter 6. 6 days, reading a chapter a day, and you have a day off. Then the next week, a chapter a day, with some time off for catch up. That's not a hard thing to do, especially beginning with the book of Luke, because you begin reading about the birth of our Lord. And so it's a very pleasurable experience. The material is easier in the New Testament, and it's more edifying at the outset. After reading the New Testament in a year or maybe a couple of times, maybe a couple of years, you just read the New Testament through. Then you can begin reading through the entire Bible each year. You can read the entire Bible in less than a year by reading 5 chapters a day. I've done it the last several years. You can finish up the Bible in less than a year just reading 5 chapters a day. Now, some of the chapters get quite long. Some of the Psalms are quite long. Some of them are quite short. And so you can adjust them as necessary to keep it from being such a long reading. But generally speaking, just reading 5 chapters a day, you can read the entire Bible in less than a year. As you do this, as you begin your reading, then begin each session with prayer. As David said in Psalm 119 and verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Ask God to give you insight into the things that you read. Not just calling words, but getting meaning from what you're reading. This puts us in a receptive frame of mind. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of godliness, or the overflowing of wickedness, and receive of meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So as you begin your session with prayer, and you understand that what you're reading is that which will save your soul, keep you from spending eternity in hell, then that gives you a great deal of incentive for reading and comprehending what you read. And as you read, then just read slowly, carefully. This helps prevent reading without comprehension. Remember Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His law does he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. We have brother and sister in Christ, husband and wife, in Blackfoot, Idaho. We became very close to, still very close to them and their family. I learned, I don't know how long ago it was, one time we visited with them, that they got up early enough in the every morning before they went to work. They owned their own business, but they were at work at the regular business hours. So they got up early in the morning and they did their Bible reading early in the morning. And they read out loud to each other and talked about what they read. I found that quite interesting. Many have suggested that reading out loud helps with comprehension. We need to be doing our best to comprehend what we read. When David said, I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. The older I get, the easier it is to forget. My forgetting works really, really well now. And I remember, never did remember real well, but it's worse now than it was. And my forgetting is working overtime. I encouraged my sons as they grew up, and especially as they began doing some preaching, I encouraged them to memorize Scripture. I did this back when I was younger. Some of it I can still remember and even tell where it's found, but some of it's left. But we need to give some consideration to what we read, and reading slowly with comprehension prevents just making a habit that is such that it's just something we do without giving it any thought. We don't want it to just be rote, but do so with comprehension. When we do this, we can use some Bible study aids. Bruce talks about a program that he uses that's found on the internet. But there are any number of programs that you can get for your computer. Most people nowadays have them. That you can get. In fact, I've got some I'll give to you if you use a Windows version. That's very easy and simple to use. Installed on your computer, just put the disc in the CD player and it'll install on your computer and you can use it without putting the disc in. It has several different versions with it, but if you want some more, there's some that you can purchase and get a code and it will install on your computer. Just very negligible cost to get these. But these are helps that we can use. There's Bible dictionaries, there's concordance, and Bible maps that will help you in your reading and your study. So don't pass over words that you don't understand, names that you don't know, or places that are unfamiliar to you. Look them up. I was talking to my sister not too long ago about Lyle Plyler, who's preaching for them. It's Larson's dad. And they were calling some names from Old Testament Scripture, and she said Lionel had a Bible that had the diacritical markings in it, that he knew how to pronounce all those names. At least the way he thought they need to be pronounced. Some of them are very hard to pronounce. And some of them really, it's difficult to find out anything about them. But you can find out about the reason why they're used, and that sort of thing, with just a little bit of work. Bruce enjoys doing this, word studies and things of that nature, finding out how many times something is used in Scripture. But every time you do this, there's that much more of the Bible that you come to realize that you don't understand. And as a result of not understanding it, you really haven't been getting anything out of it. So it takes time in reading and doing your best to understand and know what's being discussed. Know the setting. Now the context in which this particular passage is written. And as you do this, then you can discuss this reading with other people. In Psalm 119 again, David said in verse 13, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." David's telling them to other people. Remember what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Do you understand that the words "apt to teach" there are exactly the same words that's used in reference to overseers, elders, bishops, being apt to teach? One of the qualifications of an elder is being able to teach. Well, Paul is not talking about an elder or overseer. He's just simply talking about a servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? If you are, then you should be able to teach. Now, it didn't say you had to be able to stand in the pulpit, such as I'm doing here, or you stand there like Bruce on Sunday morning and teach a Bible class. But you still need to be able to teach. You need to be able to tell someone else what God's Word says. You can at least encourage someone else to follow the same Bible reading program that you're doing. You can share your discoveries in regard to certain passages that you have read that encourage you. You can share them with other people. So, as you read, think about these passages, store them up in your mind, and be ready to share those thoughts and principles with those round about you. Who knows, you might even start a Bible study on a regular basis and wind up converting someone to Jesus Christ. Read with intention to do what it says, or you're just wasting your time. James chapter 1 verse 22 beginning, James said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For if beholding himself and going his way straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Looking into the word and doing what it says. A doer of the word. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. So joy comes with an application of God's word to our lives. Read with the intention of putting it into practice in your life. Now obviously we're reading from Old Testament scriptures about animal sacrifices. We're not going to start offering animal sacrifices on the literal altar. But we can understand the principles that are discussed in this and why these people were offering these animal sacrifices. It was in worship to God, showing their reverence and their respect for God. And so we can derive those thoughts from even passages like that. And as you read, then end each session with prayer. Like David in Psalm 119, verse 5 and 6. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Oh, that my ways. This is a request that David makes of God. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. We need to keep those thoughts on our mind as we read and we study. As you continue reading in Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11, he said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." These are the kind of thoughts we need to have in our hearts and minds as we end our reading time. This gives us some insight into how to make this Bible reading a positive addiction in our life. And so as you think about daily Bible reading, understand that by following these suggestions, the practice of reading the Bible becomes one of great joy. David, Psalm 119, verse 162 says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Think about that for a little while. I rejoice at thy word as one, or just like a person, finds great spoil. If you found a big treasure chest that's full of $100 bills, how would you feel? Well, you first thought, well, who does it belong to? But suppose you can keep it. You found it, and you can keep it. How would you feel? That's the way David said he rejoiced at God's word. And so done regularly, a positive addiction for Bible reading develops and helps us keep up such a wonderful habit of reading on a regular basis from God's word. So hopefully, these thoughts have been an encouragement to you to begin and to continue a habit of daily Bible reading. So if you have in the past and you've quit, then try again. Hopefully this will encourage you, if you have in the past tried and you failed, that you somewhere along the line you quit reading on a regular basis. Hope this will encourage you to begin again. There is so much to gain and so much to lose. Psalm 119 again. By the way, Psalm 119 is a good chapter to read. It's a long chapter. Good chapter to read. A lot of food for thought in it. Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. How would we know what we ought not to do if we didn't read the Bible? Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, or for this reason, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How are we going to know which way to go, which path to follow, if we don't read the word of God? And it needs to be done on a regular basis, so that we don't allow ourselves to drift into the habit of not reading the word of God. The word of God is described as food for the soul. That's exactly what it is. Jesus said his body was meat indeed. His blood was drink indeed. We understand Jesus is not talking about his literal flesh, his literal blood. But when we observe this memorial feast on the Lord's Day, we're partaking of the body and blood of Jesus. When we read the word, we're feasting on Jesus. Because remember John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus existed in the form of the Word with God from the beginning of creation, even before creation. Jesus was with God when creation began. Because John goes on to say, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image, a plural pronoun, indicating more than just one entity was present at the time all this creation was taking place. Jesus existed as the Word. When we read the Word today, we are absorbing, we're feasting on Jesus, the Son of God. And the more we do that, the more he becomes a part of our lives. And that's exactly what we want him to be. We want him to be a part of our lives on a permanent, regular basis. We want Jesus to be a part of our lives. Maybe that there are those in the audience tonight that never obeyed the gospel of Christ. If not, then you can do that tonight. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to turn from your sins and confess your faith publicly in Jesus as the Son of God, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. the Lord then will add you to his church. You can continue feasting on God's word the rest of your life and be ushered into that heavenly home that's been prepared. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's where we want to be. The only way we can be there is to spend time with God. They said regarding the disciples, they have been with Jesus. Have we really been with Jesus? Oh, we can't be in a physical, bodily form, but we can be with Jesus by reading and absorbing his word. We have become closer and closer to him because we're his family. He's our older brother. God is our father. What a wonderful relationship we can have, but only through the benefit of the word of God. And we all are capable of reading and understanding that. That's what Paul said. Whereby reading you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It may be that there are those in the audience tonight that are children of God that have fallen away, have ceased serving the Lord as a faithful servant. You can return to him tonight if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess them, and ask his forgiveness. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come, and we stand and sing for encouragement.